The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners. On The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Alison Curtis is with me, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, and Ger Gilroy from Off The Ball. Happy St. Valentine's Day.
Many happy returns, Kieran.
Lovely way to spend it here, isn't it?
Exactly.
Three of us together.
I was hoping to spend it with you guys.
Yeah. Yes, it's a Friday. Ger, who's your winner of the week?
My winner of the week, while I look this up here and fill for a minute or two.
You meant to say, Kieran, that's a really good question.
Amazing.
That's what they always say.
So my winner of the week, obviously, is the Boys On documentary. Sorry, I finally got around to watching. Have you seen the Boys
On
documentary?
This weekend. We decided.
We had to make a.
We talked about it last night while we were watching Shrinking. Still,
oh, so good.
We said, let's watch Boys On this weekend. Lots of people recommending it.
Yeah,
really worth watching. I guess it's hard to describe if you haven't seen why it's so good. But
okay.
They are all brutally honest about this bit where Louis Walsh comes up with the idea of having an Irish take that. And hires seven guys, fires two of them after they're on the Late Late Show in that famous one, and then brings in Mikey Graham. And for their first single, which does really well, Mikey Graham is kind of the lead. And then Mikey Graham gets sidelined just after the first single breaks and there's interest in the UK. They get signed to Polydor, and then Mikey is kind of like cast aside as a singer slash influential figure in the band. And so before anything happens, he's like, from that point forward, it was a real struggle for me. You're like, whoa, okay. Mm. And then obviously you've got the whole story of Stephen Gately, who was forced to come out as a 23-year-old.
Yeah.
He's on the front page of The Sun, and they have the actual
And when
newspaper.
He was forced, how did that remind us, like as in some newspaper journalist got a scoop?
He was pushed to tell.
Yeah, we're going to tell everybody.
Okay.
So he was in a relationship with another boy band, a Dutch boy band member, and they were both secretly gay at that stage because they felt it was going to be damaging for their careers. This is mid-90s, and in Ireland, homosexuality had been decriminalised 2 years previously.
Oh, yeah.
So you kind of forget, right? And there's brilliant scenes where they actually give the actual copy of The Sun to Stephen Gately's sister, to the band members, and to Louis Walsh, and it's like his sister can't look at it. She's so heartbroken by the trauma that he'd been, like he was kind of haunted for months in the build up to this. And then Ron Keating is in tears and it looks genuine. And then they show it to Louis and he's beaming.
Because
he's delighted.
Like, yes.
He's like, wow, this is amazing. They gave him the front page and everything. And he opens it up and he's like, wow. And and you're like,
it's like the Louis today.
Yeah.
Is still kind of thinks this was great because we got in the front page and
got
great coverage for us.
Yeah.
And
well, it had to happen anyway, was Louis. And look, there is a suspicion about where the story would have originated from, which no one gives voice to in it, but everybody's left to draw their own conclusions. And it just you kind of forget about how horrific the whole thing was. Louis confesses to making up all sorts of lies about them.
Yeah.
They were in a plane crash in Australia. And there was no plane crash. He forgot to tell the family. Ha ha ha. Like, all right, okay.
Not real stand-up kind of stuff.
No, and he's totally unrepentant about having done it in the first place and how he would do it even more if he had a band today. So, look, you kind of know the story of Boys On. I didn't know the Mikey Graham stuff.
I've only heard good things about it, so I should.
It's 3 hours, definitely worth it.
Yeah.
And do you suspect watching it and the way Louis, say, talks about how he would do it and do it even to a greater degree today that the Boys Own story is actually probably the story of just loads of boy bands. It's also the story of One Direction, and it's also the story of Girls Aloud and everybody else.
I think
formatted,
definitely,
But it's exploitation as well.
Yeah,
here's these young people. Let's get in early. Get them to sign this contract.
Ronan Keating was 16 when he was on the Late Late Show.
Was he?
Yeah,
16.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when you think about like your kids at 13, yeah, so like it is really good. And I suppose it is exactly the story of all those other bands, and you know Liam Payne, obviously.
Yeah.
And you can see the parallels for all of the bands and how you emerge on the other side unscathed. It doesn't look like anybody is fully
unscathed.
It's
impossible, I imagine. Like your life is just completely like taken over by forces that are just so huge. Like you couldn't imagine that. I mean, the three of us are pretty super famous and we're just about coping with it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. When are they going to make the documentary about us? Producer Claire is the Louis Walsh of the piece.
They sold 25 million albums.
It's insane.
Six number ones. I kind of forgot how big they were because obviously Westlife came along and blew that out of the water. But yeah.
Westlife were called Westside.
Were they?
And then there was just another band called Westside in the UK.
So
they had to change it for the UK market. So that was the original name. That's where Westlife comes from. It's kind of strange as well. Like Westlife, what does it mean?
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just they had to come up with something Westside
adjacent. That's going to appear on a pub quiz, though. That's a good question.
Exactly. So anyway, I am going to watch it this weekend.
Same.
Who is your winner of the week then, Alison?
Well, sticking with showbiz and Irish stories and Samantha Mumba's a connection to Louis Walsh, this...
You like this bat, did you?
How much have you talked about that?
We talked about it three times on the day. And okay. By the third, I had had enough.
Really?
I couldn't deal with it anymore yet.
But it's... So the gossip and the story and the juicy kind of story between Donal Skean and Samantha Mumba, both people I like and both have been on the show, it just is kind of what we need right now. Don't you think? Like, as a little break from everything else? No? Did you follow it?
I did. I did see it. I agree with you. Like, a little bit of... and it's not too serious.
It's not too
serious. It's not quite it's Drake.
Utterly.
You know?
it couldn't be less serious.
Okay, so the point is, people know the story. Samantha Mumba went for Eurovision and didn't get it, but she always maintained it. Her response to the kickoff of all this wasn't that she didn't get it. I did also look at the panel and go, what are the qualifications there? And, you know, Arthur Grulian is really good friends with Donal Skean. And, like, it just felt a little in. And I like those guys a lot. Like, they're great crack. So I get what she was saying, but she was obviously really put out. But then Donal's, response.
And she used the aubergine emoji.
Yes.
To show how put out she was.
Now, yes, exactly. Oh, now you're censoring yourself.
Get
Simon Tierney in here to say the words.
But his response was funny. So the part about him going, I know what it was like. I was in a band. It's like, nah, nobody, that's not what you're known for. So whatever. But I thought the rest of his statement was pretty okay. But the best is when he just started posting all those aubergine recipes on his Instagram. He's since changed his handle as well.
Has he?
There's an aubergine in his handle now.
Okay. See, I think his first statement was a bit petty. It was a bit like, he didn't need to do all that. He should have just said, I stand by what I said last night. Samantha's a legend.
Yeah.
And,
same, I agree.
And
yeah.
just leave it at that.
But then it wouldn't have gotten fun.
Yeah, of course it wouldn't. Yeah, we wouldn't
like,
have got
Joanna
great mileage
commenting
out of it.
On everybody's talking about it. And it's, you know, when was the last time we had a really public spat?
Big celebrity beef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When? I can't.
I don't know.
An Irish one, never.
Yeah.
Somebody says something bad about Bono.
Well, I did a Louis Walsh yesterday. I implied to Sean McGreef that Pat Kenny and Rick O'Shea from RTE were having a beef.
Are they?
Because they were both on the show with me yesterday, but it didn't take off. Neither of them bit.
I kind of love it. Like, because at the end of the day, I think they're probably going to be fine and everyone's okay and nobody's been really badly slandered or hurt or anything. So it was just like the juicy kind of hilariousness that we needed.
Harmless tiff.
This time of year.
Who should be on the panel to select the Eurovision? Like, what?
See, they didn't select. Isn't that the issue? That they just provided feedback.
Right.
So then they
did contribute to the decision, though.
No, they didn't.
I think they did.
No.
It was also public and other, right?
There's an Irish panel of judges who are secret judges. Tom mm-hmm. Don was a secret Eurovision judge.
Was he?
He's qualified, I think.
I don't know if he is anymore. And then there's an international panel of judges. But these guys didn't inform that at all.
They like the two dudes in the Muppets that sit in the balcony
Statter
and
Waldorf.
Shout out at people?
And I think the issue that Samantha Mumba and others had is that that she was very close to the top after the judges, the Irish judges and the international judges, and then the public vote, and she came. She didn't do well at all in the public vote. And the public vote after they hear what Donal Skean and Arthur Grundian and everyone has to say. So
okay,
they
let's just get
witness.
Back to the aubergines. That's the fun part.
Exactly. Did you cook any of those aubergine recipes?
No, they did look good though.
Okay, what's on the show this weekend?
Actually, we're going to talk about picky eating in children. Might be doing it for a selfish reason. But we haven't had anything like that on the show in a little while, and we always get a good reaction to that. Hopefully it'll be helpful.
Are you a Eurovision fan? Do you watch it?
No.
No, no interest.
No.
Sure?
No.
Yeah, I have to say it passes me by now as well.
Yeah.
It's always on around the time there's some good sport on that always goes up against it,
It's one of those things, it's a little like the toy show. And we're all convinced that everybody watches it. And you have to remind people that if a million people watch it, it means that 80% of the population
is still not watching,
don't watch it. Yeah. But and, it's more so for the Eurovision. Probably 90% of people are not watching it.
The Eurovision had no connection to North America growing up. So I think that that's, other than Celine Dion, I suppose. So yeah, that's why we just didn't.
Well, the Australians are in it. Yeah. You play your cards right. And if you're not the 51st state, you can be a Eurovision contestant. One or the other. Jer, who's your sinner of the week?
Well, I just thought the way the story came out about the Arts Council was really interesting. It was like, I'm an angry man. Look at me. I'm thrusting and I'm brave and I'm in charge of my whole situation.
Yeah. There's an image for Valentine's Day.
A lot of angry men are in
cabinet. Thrusting till after the watershed, folks.
To go with the aubergines.
No thrusting aubergines.
Bring it back.
There was so this story broke during the week about the Arts Council overspend on an IT system that doesn't work, right? You know, and it's 7 million and it's a huge amount of money in the grand scheme of the amount that we spend on arts in the country, which isn't, you know, benchmark us against other European countries, and it probably isn't very good. And I know that the Arts Council actually spend 90% of all the funding they receive, they redistribute it, which benchmarked against other European arts organisations is actually pretty good. Yeah. But that story is all going to get buried because politician is angry about overspend. What's happening here is they're getting out in front of something.
Exactly.
So if a politician had announced to the world that they were angry about the overspend by the Office of Public Works instead of it coming out, I just think the handy leaking this story.
Just for me, I know it only partially, but... Were they spending on an IT system that was to help them get grants?
There were three separate companies were charged with building a new IT system that was going to help. I talked to some people this week who have used the old process, and apparently it's very difficult.
Yeah.
And look, there's definitely issues around the Arts Council, but what's going to happen now is the Arts Council are going to end up with less funding and we're going to have less money going to the arts, and there'll be somebody standing over that going, oh, look what I did. I saved us £1 million on arts this year. Meanwhile, in the Irish Times on the same day, we're spending £127 million in the Department of Social Protection on IT this year. And you're like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. The story is actually bigger. And which one is actually the thing that we should be getting angry about? But obviously somebody had leaked this story about how
I don't think the issue isn't that they spent 7 million on IT or that they're spending 127 million on IT and social protection. It's that the 7 million didn't work. It'd be a big story if the 127 million IT system didn't work.
Do we think we're getting value for money from that? Like if we...
Oh, no, we possibly aren't, because the lessons we've learned from, again, those OPW stories is that, you know, if the government or a state body is contracting work, there's an extra zero.
I should say it was over 2 years, the 127 at the Department of Social Protection, but... I just feel like it's very easy for you as the government are all angry about this now, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's a tiny story in the grand scheme
just
of the
diversion.
The billions that are slushing through our system and how well run the country is. But don't worry, we've got this. We're smashing the Arts Council now.
Yeah.
In charge.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think there's an element of performative outrage. Because this is the same government, effectively, who were in situ for those OPW spends. And what I find funny about it is that the new Minister for the Arts is Patrick O'Donovan, who was the minister with responsibility for the OPW, and completely washed his hands of those stories. Like, as in, he showed remarkable political lightness of touch to manage to extricate himself. Like, he's not involved. There's never any mention of him. Yet he was the line minister. There can't be a story about housing without Darragh O'Brien being mentioned last government. Yet somehow we had these two huge OPW stories and Patrick O'Donovan managed to back away from both of them.
He is pictured on all of these stories as the man who was angry.
Yeah.
So join the dots there, people.
Yeah, exactly.
His press advisor needs a pay rise.
Yeah, and it's easy for him as well because the person he can kick about this as well is Catherine Martin.
Who's dead, essentially, from a political perspective.
She's not actually dead.
Sorry, just again, we'll go back to the whole Louis Walsh thing. If her family are listening, that's not...
The plane did not crash.
The plane she was on did not crash. She's still fine.
She's never been to Australia.
But there's absolutely performative anger. There's apparently going to be more of these. This is the other story.
You get out in front of them.
Yeah, there's going to be, because... You know, the likes of Ken Fox now, who does a lot of the Freedom of Information requests, he's digging around all these now, understandably.
Yeah.
To try and find out how much money's been spent on that wall or those new windows in that public building, which itself actually is a mental story.
Yeah.
Like, we've all these people saying, let's have our own version of Doge in this country and root out all of this overspending. And the only reason we know about it is because someone like Ken Fox, completely off their own back, is doing all of this work through FOIs to try and find it. It should be much more transparent. It should be much easier to find out all of this stuff.
Yeah.
The big story is still the children's hospital and all the money and the overspend, but the figures are too big, and it kind of goes to my
point eye-watering,
last week. It's like, we can't understand that. We can't get angry about that, but we can get really angry about 700 grand for a wall or whatever the price.
Yeah.
Whatever the figures are.
Yeah. And IT systems. IT systems
are
expensive.
The worst.
They're the worst. Who's your sitter of the week?
Bootcut jeans.
Class.
This is
going to be a Kendrick story.
Yeah, I keep watching that performance. A lot of criticism about it and saying, you know, he used the biggest stage, one of the biggest stage in showbiz, just to bring out his beef with Drake. But there is so much more in it.
Do you think Samantha Mumba should be given the All-Ireland football final next year, this year or something?
And like, Serena Williams looks incredible. Like, and just like, there was so much about it. But anyway, the thing that is the sinner is those damn jeans. Like, when I moved to Ireland, that's all the guys were wearing was bootcut jeans.
We looked great.
And it was, I was like,
I still have them somewhere.
I was like, ah,
I'm digging back out.
Dates. Like, this is, and those brown shoes. It was just awful.
There wasn't the same level of inward migration, so we didn't have any rivals. as long as we were all wearing the same clothes, we had to get dates eventually.
And I really associated with nightclubs in Kilkenny and all that stuff.
Oh God.
Anyway, so Kendrick Lamar was wearing a pair, and they became a real talking point, obviously. You've watched
it. Were they flared or bootcut?
Bootcut.
Oh, okay.
But they were ladies' jeans as well.
Oh, were they?
And his stylist works with Timothy Chalamet and had originally got them for him, but somehow they ended up on Kendrick Lamar. €1,200. Celine is the house of fashion that they're from. They sold out instantly. And then the best thing is people were texting or tweeting going, even the knockoffs of these have sold out. So just completely sold out. But I mean, it kind of suited him, but in general, I don't want them to come back. So that's why they're my sinners.
Bootcut jeans, brown shoes, kind of pointy shoes, maybe like a check short sleeve shirt.
I can talk to you. I don't want any of that to come back
t-shirt
into my life.
A t-shirt underneath it, a load of pints. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Sounds good.
But I keep watching the halftime performance.
I actually still haven't seen it. I've
watched it a few times now.
Oh, was it good?
Yes. No. Yeah. And this is the thing, though, fact checkers, 133 million viewers on the day, and then like 38 million on YouTube. But people say it was the highest ever. I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, I did see somebody say more people watch this than watch the moon landing. Which is kind of...
there's more people.
But that's it. It's like there's a record number of blonde people in the world. But there's more people in the world.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to keep happening.
But would you buy a pair of bootcut jeans now? Walking out
of
this
building?
No,
because I told you, I still have them.
Does the waist still fit?
Well, yeah, no, you haven't. They're way too big at the waist. I have a big buckle, huge buckled belt.
Would you?
I don't know. I mean, they were comfortable. They were very practical, you know?
Yeah. Well, the kind of the kind of baggier jean is back in, you know what I mean? You can get away with them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sure, there, you know?
No. I do miss being able to wear boots. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I've been stuck in runners for 5 years now. And it's like, fair enough. But, you know, I did like
boots.
Well,
that's why they were designed, right? To go around the boot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But you can't wear boots now.
Yeah,
you can wear
boots, but not with bootcut jeans. You can't wear boots with jeans.
Obviously, shoes are dead.
But what
right?
do you want to tuck them in? Like, the bootcut was designed to go around.
Yeah, I know, but you can wear a boot with jeans.
You can wear a boot with jeans. That's fair enough. But, like, you know.
No, yeah. Don't.
Should we? Do you think we should get a style podcast going? Maybe you and I. These kind of insights could be available behind a paywall every week.
People would pay for it.
Apparently, that's going to be the last of its kind. The halftime shows for the next, because like everything
until
like,
Trump goes.
Yeah, because basically it's Jay-Z's company produced them.
Yeah,
and already there's a let's make the halftime show great again, so get Tim McGraw to sing a kind of a or just a beat like let's get Paul McCartney or Bruce Springsteen or kind of all that sort of stuff.
He did it,
but not with, he wouldn't do it for Trump.
It's in San Francisco next year, so it'll be very interesting to see what happens.
Similar
Metallica or San Francisco, a few other Journey or San Francisco. I mean, obviously they're different ends of acceptability to, but Metallica totally capitalist now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do anything.
People just want to, the pushback people just want like a band to
they
play
want white
a big
artists
song.
is the real code.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or safe black artists, you know, in their mind, you know.
And like Samuel L. Jackson, his role, like as Uncle Sam, it was just all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watched Pulp Fiction this morning, actually.
This morning?
Yeah, this morning, yeah.
How did you... Happy Valentine's Day!
Yeah, because I dropped the kids to school and then I went on the bike, like the exercise bike, and I could watch whatever I wanted. And I watched the first hour of Pulp Fiction.
There you go.
Unbelievable.
It is.
So good.
It really is.
Actually so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go home and watch the rest of it tonight.
And then the Boyzone documentary.
Anyway, happy Valentine's Day, it's right. Alison and Joe are going to stay with me. We'll be back for the last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yes, Alison Curtis and George Gilroy are both still with me. Actually, Joe, you did want to talk about Valentine's Day. Is that right?
I mean, you know, kind of not really.
Very sincere sense.
Going to the supermarket on Wednesday night to buy some stuff, totally unconnected to Valentine's Day. You make the phone call home, is there anything we need? Pick up some tulips. It's tulip season. So I'm at the flowers in a German multiple, one of the two, and I'm standing there for about 5 seconds and a woman comes over to me and starts picking them up and showing me some of them. Basically, these ones are good, you get away with those. And I'm kind of like stunned, like I need some help, like she's my carer, essentially. Oh, son, come on. It doesn't happen that often. And I'm still standing there for 5 more seconds and a man comes over and he goes, look, we're not cheap. This is just good value. And walks off with some of the roses. I was like, wow, this is a very strange experience, isn't it? Just stand here and all human life
be
comes
judged.
To you.
Yeah.
The last time I felt like that was the week after our first child was born and I had to go in and buy something in the late lamented mother care. And I'm standing there getting something and the shop woman comes over and goes, are our nipples inverted? I was like, it could be, I don't know. I don't know. So
I don't know what
she
that means.
It was helpful. Like, she thought it was helpful.
Yeah, so thanks to the woman in the Lidl in Eastwall who was helping me to buy flowers. Unnecessarily, I think I could actually pick some flowers.
So I was there last night and all I saw was a bunch of guys, because there's so much building around there, just leaving with, like, it was just a stream of men leaving.
The doozers.
Yeah, doozers, yeah, with flowers. And I was like, oh, those bunch of lucky ladies.
Yeah, exactly.
Ladies and men. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's loads of like posts online last night. Oh, the amount of men kind of leaving, you know, the supermarket with flowers. Like, what of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all right, totally, fine. I wasn't original with my comment.
Yeah, no,
but
just,
night.
I mean, leave them alone, Alison. They're putting in an effort, right? All right. You did want to, what did you want to mention? McDonald's.
This is for you.
Oh, yeah?
Because I don't understand anything you say on Instagram now, because all you do in your hoity-toity way is put it in Irish.
Yeah.
So in McDonald's on Grafton Street in Dublin, somebody spotted at the self-checkout that you can order Oscalga now.
Or you can actually, on the machines.
Yeah.
All right, okay, yeah.
But then I was thinking, like, is there an Irish version for things that are on the menu there? Like, is there an Irish word, like halloumi fries?
The Big Mac. The Royale with cheese.
Back to Pulp Fiction.
Man.
Is there? I was like, surely.
Well, it's just halloumi le fries. I don't know what.
Skaloga?
Yeah. I don't know what. What's halloumi in Irish?
French fries.
Halloumi's halloumi, right?
Chips. What?
Skaloga prati, aren't they?
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, you should know when you're 1 million.
But I don't know what halloumi is.
It's probably just halloumi.
Yeah, probably.
But I thought you're going to race down there and support that organisation.
I am.
Just so I can order an Irish.
I think they got rid of it. You know, at Bank of Ireland, didn't they have...
They did.
Gaeilge, right. Moberla, you could like click on it. But I think, I don't think that's there anymore.
Oh, man, I took
although I don't
million,
know because I don't know, I never take out money at a pass machine anymore.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's
and
Irish
I have to
anymore.
Like frantically try and find somewhere where I've written down my passcode every time I do. I don't know the numbers for anything anymore.
What's your goal?
Bad,
though?
Isn't it?
You need a carer.
Are you going to keep going?
I need that person. Can you get that person's number from to
loiter with intent around any
Fairview? Are you just going to keep going, though?
To where?
Irish. Like, just...
Well, it's 100 days.
Okay.
Yeah, so what's 100 days from the start of the year? April, sometime in April.
Right, okay.
Well, I might keep going, you know.
I might mute you for a while.
Ouch. Ouch. That's a hard. That's
no,
a very,
it's good. It's
that's
good.
A very hurtful thing to
it's
say.
Good. I'm
on
sorry.
Saint Valentine's
I am sorry.
Day.
I apologize.
Exactly.
Where's the love?
Where is the love is right. Jerry Gilroy from Off the Ball. Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM. Thank you both very much. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody at home. Thrusting may begin in 3, 2, 1. See you on Monday.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.